Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. So here we are again with the Forward with Purpose podcast, and we have Mary Lee Mason on with us today. And it's just me. Linda's not here. This was like a side thing that I asked Mary Lee to come on and talk to me about her intake process. She's with New Heart of Texas, and they have it down. They've been doing it for many, many years. And so she's agreed to record this and share it with you. And hopefully you will gain some insights and some wisdom, maybe tweak what you're doing or adopt totally what she's doing. I don't know. But I know I want to hear how her intake process works to see how what can benefit me in our organization as well. And so I'm going to turn it over to you, Mary Lee, to just share a little bit of your story and how you came to New Heart, how New Heart got started, and what you guys are doing.
Okay. Again, my name is Mary Lee Mason. I'm the president and founder of New Heart of Texas Ministries. And we actually started New Heart in 2013, but it goes back to 2006 when I got healed from my abortion. I had an abortion when I was 18 and thought that was my only choice. And it affected everything in my life until 26 years later in 2006, when I went through a Rachel's Vineyard abortion recovery retreat. And that's where I received my healing and also my calling that I would be helping people heal from their abortion. And I didn't know that then, but other ways of healing too, also from any kind of trauma. And so in 2006, after my Rachel's Vineyard retreat, I was volunteering at a pregnancy center, and then I became the director of the pregnancy center about 6 months later, and started doing abortion recovery. I did Forgiven and Set Free, was trained in that, and then also Rachel's Vineyard retreats. And so basically started doing all these retreats, and we did about 80 a year, and that was back when I was also a director of a pregnancy center. So intake, I've learned along the way, and probably led over, I know it's over 100 abortion recovery retreats. So wow. We've memorialized thousands of babies, and I've also been trained in Surrendering the Secret, and led that, Forgiven and Set Free, and a couple of other abortion recovery programs. But intake is intake. And when I'm talking to people about intakes, most important thing any ministry can do is answer your phone. That's number one. If you don't answer your phone, then people won't leave a message. But if people, I've heard this complaint so many times, people will call us at New Heart of Texas and they say, I've called three or four different ministries to get help with my abortion, and you're the first one who's actually answered the phone. So thank you for answering the phone. So that's number one, answering the phone. And number two, it's just like having a conversation with them. They need to know it's a safe place and it's confidential. So safe and confidential, then they're willing to open up. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who call for abortion recovery, it's their first time to talk to anybody about their abortion. Mm-hmm. And now I know we do have the H3 helpline, and we have some other hotlines that people sometimes call. But when they're really reaching out for help, they want to know that there's actually hope in healing. So one of the things during an intake I share my own story. I share my own story so they know I've had an abortion in my past and I've received healing. And so by sharing that, that helps them to open up too. So, and then I tell them a little bit about our program. And then I go through and just ask, once I've given them a little information about myself and about our program, then I ask, well, can you share with me about your abortion? So I want them, instead of just asking questions that's on our intake sheet, I want to have a conversation. And I think that's what helps the most. And we all know it's not just about the abortion, but it's what happened before. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's their childhood. Sometimes, you know, there's sexual abuse involved, mm-hmm. or it's in a marriage or whatever. But getting them to open up with the whole story. You don't want them to sit there and talk for an hour about themselves, but just the highlight. Well, tell me a little bit about your childhood, about growing up. And then that kind of opens up. You have a question?
Yeah, I do. So when you're talking to them, because this is kind of how we do it, but we do have a lot of questions that we're trying to answer. And so when we're talking to them, we're taking note of those things so that we can go fill those things in later, but we're not.
Right.
And then if they don't answer, if they don't talk about a specific thing, like maybe, you know, what was the year you had your abortion, or how long ago was it, or how many kids
yeah.
do you have? You know, if they haven't mentioned those things, we'll ask specifically. Is that kind of the, how
yes,
you're doing
I do
that?
that
Okay.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything they haven't answered, I go back and do it as we're, it's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hear a child in the background. How many kids do you have?
Okay.
You know, and.
And I'm curious, Mary Lee, because I know you're busy, and I know, like, anybody listening doesn't know our history of understanding how we know each other. But I worked with the H3 Helpline and came to a retreat and worked on a team as a retreat at your center, or your retreat center. It was great. It's beautiful. And, but I also know that you have two or three other types of retreats that you're doing. Grief
Yes.
to Grace. Is that the one? And
Grace and
Duty to
Duty
Heal.
To Heal.
Yes. Yes. And I want you to just give a quick plug so people know what those are. But why I'm asking this question is because I know you're busy. Like, as a director, I know you're really, really busy. So are you still doing the intakes personally, or do you have someone helping you with that?
I have other people help me. So Tracy Reynolds usually does our intakes for Rachel's Vineyard. And then I have two of us doing them for Grief to Grace. And then
okay.
Someone else does them for our Duty to Heal program. So
okay.
I'm the main one now for Grief to Grace, but Tracy's been doing them for a while too. And I've done them for years and years and years. And so
okay.
I train our new people when to do them. But
okay.
again, it's gotta be who's gonna answer that phone.
Yeah.
So we have an 800 number. And
yeah.
so if I'm on call, so she and I share one number. And so I can set it up kind of like the helpline where I get the phone calls or she gets the phone calls depending on our schedules. So that
okay.
way the phone is always answered.
Right.
And we
Right.
also have where they sign up online on our website. And so to actually schedule an intake, it's better if they sign up online and then we email them and say, hey, we have this day open at 10 o'clock. Are you available so we can actually talk on the phone? So since we are so busy, we schedule our intakes through email or text messaging.
Okay. I'm curious, how many of people contact you and then when you reach out, never contact you back? How often does that happen?
Not too often, but every once in a while, maybe one or two a month.
Okay. Okay.
But most of them return the email or the call. But once we send an application, then they read it and then they're not ready. And
oh, okay.
So then they don't have, but we do the initial talk with them. And then some people, they get scared. Life happens and they're not ready to deal with it yet.
Right. Right. So we have that like right away. People reach out and then we reach out and then nothing. It's all crickets over there. So that's why I was wondering, but you're having it at the application, and that actually brings me to another question, because so you have an intake and then you have an application that they have to fill out and return.
Right. I believe that's part of the healing process. It's one thing when they know they're ready for healing, they reach out, they either email or they call. Okay. So that means that's the first step in healing, and people can't do that for them. If they're ready for healing, they have to make that first step. And then once they make that first step and then we connect and do the intake, then the next step is writing it down. Mm-hmm. And that's different, but that's the next step in their healing process, is actually taking the time. And it's not really long, but they still have to write it out and then send it back. So, okay. And that's part of, you know, responsibility too. Do I really want to attend this retreat and be healed?
Yeah. And you're getting so many people, you really do need to know that you have ones that are serious.
Right.
Right.
And we heal up 3 to 4 months in advance. And so we let them know, look, we do it free of charge.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, it's your responsibility to get here. We'll pick you up at the airport, because people come from all over the United States for every single retreat. So people fly in to come to ours. And so when we give them a spot on a retreat, then they have to make the commitment to come. And then, so we check in with them weekly. How you doing? Is there anything that you need prayer for? And that way they don't get nervous. And then we send a welcome packet in the mail. And when they get that, we call them. First, we tell them it's in the mail. And then after they should have gotten it, did you get it? Do you have any questions?
Okay, because- hold on just a second, because this is really, I think this is really a caring approach that you have. And I just kind of want to break it down just a little bit. So, so somebody contacts you and one of you contact them and do an intake. And then the purpose of that is to just let them share their story, like make connection with you. Is that correct? And just sort of get some identifying things about them. And then at that point, you send them an application. Now, what's the information on the application? How is it different?
It's basically the same, but number one, when you're writing things, there's so many times you miswrite numbers or emails or things like that. And so it's basically the same information, but when people talk to you, they say one thing. When they write it down, it's something different.
Okay.
And so that way we're having two forms, because in the intake, they give us more detail. And in the application, they write little things. Like say they didn't tell us about any miscarriages, or they only told us about one abortion, but then on the application, they write 3 abortions.
Okay.
So there's always, so that way we can go back and talk to them, because a lot of times they'll admit one abortion, but they're not ready to talk about the others. And sometimes it's a surprise when they get here and actually go through the program.
Okay. Okay. And so are you like, is it Tracy following this one particular lady through until she's assigned a group leader? Is that how it works? Or whoever does the intake?
Well, yeah, whoever does the intake follows up until the established team. And then once we have our team, then about 6 weeks before the retreat, we divide up the participants. So that way each person, or at least 3 on the team, will have a prayer partner, and then they contact them, tell them, I'm going to be on the retreat, I'm on the team, and I want to be praying for you. So how can I pray for you? So they're in contact once or twice a week with them, either by phone or text.
And this is with the prayer partner or the group leader?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
We call them prayer partners, but they're on the team.
Oh, I gotcha. All right. And so,
since we've been doing that, we have less people cancel. It's more of a commitment, and they bonded with somebody who's going to be here that weekend. And then they're the one who calls them and says, you know, just checking in with you, making sure you're okay. Let me know when you leave. And if there's anything else you need, remember, this is what you're going to bring. And then they're the first ones to greet them because they've been talking on the phone for
Right.
at least 4 weeks.
That's really great, because so now they're not just going and going, okay, I hope I don't know any of these people and I feel weird. They know at least one person they're going to connect with
Yeah.
when they get there. That's really a great
Right.
idea. I like that. And then so Tracy takes a call and sends the application. Application comes back and Tracy stays in contact with this lady once a week until or more
Every
until.
couple of weeks. It depends. Some
Yeah.
sign up 6 months in advance, sometimes a
Okay.
year in advance, so then it's
Okay.
once a month.
I
And then
gotcha. I
some
gotcha.
sign up, 5 weeks before the retreat. And if we have
Okay.
a spot open, so it just depends on when the retreat is. And
Okay.
sometimes if they have to say they signed up last November for February, now something came up. They can't go to the February one, so then they get pushed and they will go to the April retreat.
Okay.
So by Tracy keeping in contact with them, she knows, oh, this has happened. Now we have a spot opened up. So this one moves to April. And then so that way we're always staying in contact with them.
Okay. That, yeah. And that's what I was trying to just kind of follow through. And then once they get assigned to a group and the group team takes it, then Tracy's done with them for now.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless they don't go or don't show and end up going to another
Right.
one. Okay. All right. Well, that sounds really good. So that keeps them kind of consistent with one person. Did you ever try to, did you ever experiment with other kinds of ways of intake models or ways that you did things that just you felt like just really didn't work? Or was this always kind of how you went with it?
No, we've just improved. Yes, we started, and why we do this model because we had people not showing up.
Okay.
They would sign up online. And my experience when I went through Rachel's Vineyard, I had no contact with the leader or anybody from the team, and I never got the welcome packet, so I wasn't going to go. I was like, nope. If they should have called me, and
Awesome.
if it wasn't for one of my co-workers saying that she got one and she told the leader that I didn't get one and I wasn't going. So then they reached out and gave me one. But if you don't, so I firsthand experienced what that was like, not being contacted
Got it.
and talk to me on the phone. And then over the years we had people, we were only calling them one time. And then we had a lot of no-shows.
Okay.
So we've learned over the years that the more contact you have with them, the better chance they will show up.
Okay. Okay. That's good to hear and good to know. And so they go through the group, and because you have the different retreats, and I haven't let you kind of just talk about those. So why don't you tell about what your other retreats do, just to kind of understand.
All the retreats we run are written by Dr. Teresa Burke, and Rachel's Vineyard. It's in 78 countries. It's in almost every state in the United States. And so that's for abortion recovery. Grief to Grace, also written by Dr. Teresa Burke, is for trauma. It was first written geared for sexual trauma, but we've learned that it's any kind of trauma. Any kind of trauma, either childhood, adulthood, so sexual, physical, spiritual, any kind of abuse or trauma. And it's a 5-day retreat. And we're the only ones licensed in Texas to run it. I think we're up to like 10 different sites, maybe 12 in the United States. And then it's in like maybe 8 or 9 different countries.
Wow.
But it's very powerful, and they go hand in hand, abortion recovery. And what usually comes out, 80% of the people who go through our abortion recovery retreats have had some type of sexual abuse
Right.
or trauma. And so it's a good follow-on. We recommend 3 to 6 months after abortion recovery, then going through and getting healing for that, because a lot of the abortion recovery programs, it touches and brings up the sexual abuse, but it does not zero in on how to heal from sexual trauma, where Grief to Grace does. And so that's has been when I started New Heart in 2013, I knew we needed to do also the sexual trauma because of how many people had sexual trauma who had abortions. And so the Grief to Grace really takes care of that. And it's just been amazing to see how many lives are changed. I mean, you can't just heal from the abortion. And then it usually triggers and brings up all the sexual abuse. And if you don't have healing for that, then you're not complete. And God wants us to all be healed from all of our trauma. And so it really does work hand in hand. And we
And
just
then
see marriages restored, just, families being restored when they've had both retreats. And then Duty to Heal is for, which is Dr. Teresa Burke's newest program. And we're the only ones running it right now. And we're ready to start training other sites, but it's for first responders and veterans with PTSD. So
Wow.
what we're seeing in all of our retreats is that they all overlap. We've had veterans who bring up abortions they were involved in, and now they're coming to Rachel's Vineyard. And we've had trauma in our sexual abuse or abortion recovery, and they need to go through Duty to Heal
Wow.
for their moral injury of war. So they all go hand in hand. And we've had some people who've attended over a year to 2 years, all three retreats, and they've had different healing experiences, but it's just been miraculous to watch them grow and heal. And what God does in each one of the retreats, because they're all different.
Right.
They're
So
all.
after, so when a woman comes in for Rachel's Vineyard, and I've been on your retreat, but I'm asking for everybody else. So when they come in for Rachel's Vineyard, and how are you introducing these other healing opportunities to them? And then how are you following up?
Usually at the end of the retreat, we have our brochures out and then we talk to them more detail about the other two programs. And then in our follow-up calls, I will call them the ones that need the sexual trauma retreat. I will follow up with them and say, I really think you would benefit from this retreat. And so then they'll look at their schedule and say, when they're available, and yes, they want to go. So
Okay, and what does your follow-up look like? Is that like a month after the retreat? How much time are you giving them?
usually within the first 2 weeks we call, and we also set up a chat group with everybody from the team, and so that way they instantly have connection because we develop healing communities. And our communities become so close, closer than family, because they've shared so much. So by they pray for each other. So they're texting, or we used to do Facebook private chat, but now it's more either on WhatsApp or texting with the phone. And then so the team, whoever you're prayer partner was, the team reaches back out to them within a week or two, talks to them, makes sure they're doing okay. And then we have a reunion 4 weeks later on Zoom. And then we all get together and talk and then just see how they're doing. And then we follow up if they need to go to one of the other retreats.
Okay. You guys got it down pat. And I know you've been doing a lot of them, so you should have it down pat. And that's why I wanted to have you on because it's just so much good information. Do you ever share your intake or your application forms for others to kind of look at and use and help with what they're doing?
We have, when I train other Rachel's Vineyard sites, I share
Okay.
with what we do.
Okay.
But I mean, they're pretty basic. The Grief to Grace intake and application, it's licensed. You have to, be able to run that. And then the Rachel's Vineyard one is more generic and not quite as detailed. So, but I mean, they're not main thing is food allergies, because we have our cooks who need to know ahead of time. And right now there's so many gluten-free and
yes.
And so we try to make sure we have all that on there. And then
and low carb like me.
Right, yes. Right. And then anybody with medical issues and things like that, for our, we have a licensed therapist on every retreat. So that way, and not everybody gets to go. Not everybody is fit to be on a retreat. And so that's the other purpose of the intake and getting to know them.
Okay.
And I don't know, you know who's fit and who's not for a retreat.
Yeah.
It's not often we don't turn people away, but we have had to. I mean, okay. And to say, well, let's get you some more counseling. Maybe one-on-one would be better for you. And especially if they have a whole bunch of health concerns, or they've had multiple stays in a psych ward. And, you know, so you just have to really, and that's what you have to be in tune and really hear from the Lord for each person who you talk to on the phone.
Yeah. And then I know that you guys have your Rachel's Vineyard participants follow up with a Zoom. You have a Zoom team that does Forgiven and Set Free, and you try
right.
to have them follow up afterwards. And so I want you to share, if you would, how those, why you do that and how the two really work together.
Okay. Rachel's Vineyard, when somebody signs up for Rachel's Vineyard or any abortion recovery program, you look at, you have a 9-week Bible study, or you have a weekend retreat. And for us, what we've learned, because we offer both, that people are willing to give up 3 days of their life, come in and see if they can receive healing. Once they've done that, then they're willing to do a 9-week study. Mm-hmm. And so Rachel's Vineyard is more experiential, and it is like watching the movie. But then when you get into Forgiven and Set Free, it's like reading the book, and it dives into the scripture more. And you have your Bible out, you have all this homework to do, but you really get it in. So it's more reading the book versus watching a movie. And it's more head knowledge of what God's already done. And so we've really found that they work hand in hand. And we've tried before and after. We've had some people who've done Forgiven and Set Free first, then they come to the retreat. And we have found it works best is they actually go through Rachel's Vineyard first. And then on the last day, we have one of our Forgiven and Set Free facilitators come out, eat lunch with them, tell them about the program, and they sign up right there. And then we have the same group go through Forgiven and Set Free. And so we're doing at least 4 a year, and it's really worked out with 6 to 8 people going through it. We've even had a couple go through it, and even having men go through it, and they have gotten so much more healing. And
That's
so especially
awesome.
When they've spent the whole weekend together, mm-hmm. and then they spend 9 weeks. And
yeah.
So they've really developed friendships, relationships, deeper healing, and it's been really, really successful.
That's awesome. Yeah. And because we recommend after they go through our group that they investigate Rachel's Vineyard. I always tell people about New Heart or deeper still, because both of those are experiential, and both
yeah.
of those are really complementary. Even going through both of them is good
yeah.
because they're both so different, you know, and
right.
everybody focuses on something a little bit different, and it just adds to that piece of healing and perspective and just getting
mm-hmm.
truth into the light. So well, Mary Lee, thank you so much for taking some time to hang out with me and to share about your process and how you guys do things at New Heart, and just for the benefit of myself, for one, and for the benefit of the hearers. So,
yep, you're welcome. Thank you.